Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another News in Focus program. Have you ever driven by a building that was apparently a church and it's no longer a church? Have you ever driven by what you know was a Pizza Hut? You could tell that was a Pizza Hut. That used to be a Pizza Hut. How about a Burger King or a Hardee's? How about a Walmart? Well, maybe not a Walmart. How about a Kmart? How about a large shopping center? And you knew it was obviously a shopping center. Have you seen a grocery store before? And it was apparent to you that was a grocery store. Can you picture what I'm talking about? Have you driven by what looks to be a church? You know, that used to be a church. There was a sign there. The place is now closed down. You say, what's your point, Pastor Sean? What's your point on this News and Focus program? Well, I'm looking at a Wall Street article entitled, Congress Passes Fiscal Cliff. Congress broke a rancorous stalemate Tuesday to pass legislation designed to avert the so-called fiscal cliff. But the compromise bill, which blocked most impending tax increases and postponed spending cuts largely by raising taxes on upper-income Americans, left a host of issues unresolved and guaranteed continued budget clashes with between parties. U.S. stocks vaulted higher on the first day of the new year, joining a global equity rally after Congress's last-minute agreement on the deficit. The Dow Industrial rose, average shot up 235 points or 1.9% for a second consecutive day of triple-digit gains. The bill represented the largest tax increase in the past two decades and was passed by over opposition from conservative Republicans in the House who objected to the fact that contained no long-term spending cuts of any significance. Now, I bet if you're a regular listener to the News and Focus program, you think that I'm going to rail about the tax increases. But you're wrong. You're simply wrong. I recognize that everyone has to pay taxes. I recognize that. I don't have a problem with paying taxes. I enjoy knowing that there are an entire regiment upon regiment upon regiment of sailors and Marines and Army soldiers and airmen that are standing guard and ready to do the nation's business. I enjoy the fact that there's a fire department ready with guys sleeping there, an alarm system that will wake them up if my house catches on fire and I'm on vacation. I like the fact that there are policemen that drive the state, the highways and streets of the city I live in and the roads I travel. So I'm willing to pay for those services. I enjoy that. I have no problems recognizing that I have to pay for it. The House voted 257 to 167 with 172 Democrats joining 85 Republicans in supporting the measure. Voting against the bill were 151 Republicans, and the GOP leadership split over the issue, with House Majority Eric Cantor voted against it, while House Speaker John Boehner, Republican from Ohio, voted for it. Also supporting the bill was Paul Ryan, Republican from Wisconsin. The GOP vice president nominee, who has been an ardent opponent of increasing taxes. President Barack Obama appeared in the White House press briefing room minutes after the House passed the bill, with Vice President Joe Biden standing right behind his shoulder. Thanks to the votes of Democrats and Republicans in Congress, I will sign a law that raises taxes on the wealthiest 2% of Americans while preventing a middle-class tax hike that could have sent the economy back into recession and obviously had severe impact on families all across America. Mr. Obama said he would like to take an additional steps to reduce the nation's deficit. Really? Is that true? Can we really assume that to be true? For the reality is, nothing was done with this bill to reduce the deficit. In fact, what happened was just the opposite. For while we passed this bill reducing the number of dollars coming into the government because everyone's taxes did not go up, only the top 2% went up. Instead, or in addition to this, would have been a more accurate way of communicating this information, another spending bill was passed borrowing billions of dollars to take care of the Sandy crisis up there in New Jersey. The storm, the superstorm, and now there's much to be rebuilt and more money needs to be printed on the printing presses in the Department of the Treasury in order to cover this bill. And that is the issue. That's why I brought up to you churches that are closed, McDonald's, well, not so much McDonald's. You don't see that very often. Other restaurants, box stores, places going out of business, churches going out of business. But you see, the federal government's too big to go out of business. It can't. It can't go out of business. So instead, what the government does is it borrows money. It just keeps borrowing money. Borrowing on top of borrowing on top of borrowing. And there doesn't seem to be any idea whatsoever within the Congress, 435 of them, or the Senate, 100 of them, or the executive branch, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, Mrs. Secretary of State, Mr. Treasury, etc., Attorney General, etc. There doesn't seem to be any clue up there, no clue whatsoever, that we are broke. I mean broke, B-R-O-K-E. I mean we're broke. There is no money. And yet we continue to operate as though the savings account is full, that the emergency fund is great. We don't seem to have any fear that we could fail, that we, like that church in the corner that is no longer a church, goes out of business. You know that's what happens. We don't typically say that. We don't normally say a church went out of business, but you do recognize that's what happens. That for whatever reason, Preacher X was not able to get Congregation X to give sufficient money to cover the bills. He tried, wanted to get a church started, thought he could preach sufficient, minister enough to get people to attend, and that they would recognize that the value that they're receiving from the organization that they're a part of is worth a portion of the income that they take in, so they voluntarily give of their money. Now, I know this is different, because in the case of taxes, there's nothing voluntary going on, folks. There's nothing voluntary. And you know what? I don't even get a vote, or I don't get much of a vote when it comes to the value of what I'm receiving. For right now, I don't feel much value. Now, while I do appreciate what I receive, police, fire protection, Department of Defense, I also have great difficulties with something like, let me give you one example. The Congress most recently, within the last week, passed a measure to make sure that the farmers would continue to receive farm subsidies so that milk would not double in price. Now, please understand what just happened. Money was borrowed, is going to be borrowed, is being borrowed to give to farmers to make sure that your milk bill is not too high. So while you realize it or not, cheap milk is really a benefit of paying taxes. But the problem is, let me use that old, worn out, just overused phrase. They have once again kicked the can down the road. Here's the reality. If it costs $6 a gallon to produce a gallon of milk in America, then that's what we should be paying for milk. We should not be paying $3 a gallon while farmers receive a subsidy. That's just the reality. That's what our economy is built on. We're not a socialistic country. We are a capitalistic country. In a capitalistic country, all those people who enjoy milk in their Cheerios enough to pay $6 a gallon pay $6 a gallon. All those people who do not enjoy milk enough in their Cheerios to pay $6 a gallon don't buy the milk. As such, the demand for milk goes down. Some farmers go out of business. An appropriate number of farmers is adjusted to, that's capitalism, until the market bears the right relationship between the number of consumers demanding the product and the number of manufacturers of milk. And then the price is set by supply and demand. If we're not buying enough milk and there is a glut of milk, then the price goes down. If we're buying too much or the demand is high, then they raise the price. Do you know that we do not do a subsidy on Coca-Cola or ginger ale or Sprite? No subsidies there. If you want a gallon of soda, 2 liters, two 2-liter bottles, then you pay $1.29 a piece or so, and you've got your gallon of Coke. There is no subsidy for Coke manufacturers. The reality is, if America's going to fix itself, that's the course of action that will be necessary. Those types of decisions are what the Congress is going to be forced to do. But, here's the problem. Every voter loves their congressman or woman. It's the other 434 that are idiots. But their Tom, Frank, Susie, whomever, is a good congresswoman or congressman, and he or she deserves to be reelected. And as long as we continue with that upside down, backwards mentality, nothing's going to be fixed. In fact, can you believe the reality that the bums, yes, I use that phrase, term of endearment, these congressmen and women, senators, they are receiving a raise. Yes, they're receiving a raise. The budget is out of control, for there is no budget. The Congress has its lowest approval ratings ever in the history of mankind, or the history of America. And on top of that, we're not paying you enough money. You are not getting paid enough money. Here's an increase. Now, let's go all the way back to the beginning of the podcast. When McDonald's, Burger King, Hardee's, Taco Bell, when these restaurants are not making it, this is what they do. They reduce salaries, buy less product, raise the price. If all those types of measures don't work, ultimately what you see is a building that used to be a Pizza Hut, but it's no longer a Pizza Hut. It goes out of business. Somehow, we haven't figured that out in America. When it comes to other entities, cities, schools. But you say, you're listening to this podcast, they can't go out of business. Well, as long as we maintain that mindset, we're never going to fix ourselves fiscally. Never. We're never going to fix ourselves fiscally. Berean Baptist Church is the church I get to pastor. It's a privilege to pastor our church. We rely on a couple streams of income, one of which is the free will offerings of God's people. Another one is the tuition payments of moms and dads who send their children to our academy. The combination of free will offerings of God's people and tuition payments from parents form the bulk of the revenue that we receive. We then must determine what we can spend according to the revenue we are receiving. And the reality is, We have no ability to tax the people. We can't do it. We're not like the federal government. Thus, there's a simple rule that we have to live by. If we don't have it, we don't spend it. Do we make exceptions to that? Yes. We make exceptions for large projects, buildings, things like that. Monthly payments are factored into the budget, and only if we can afford it do we make that potential loan. Our goal presently is to get debt-free, 100% debt-free. That same goal needs to be our nation's goal. That same goal needs to be our nation's goal. If we want to turn the economy around, nothing will turn the economy around more than to see our government begin to make massive cuts in spending. Massive cuts in spending. Well, thanks for listening. Have a great day.